And this morning I want to talk to you from the Gospels, this narrative, this story about blind Bartimaeus, and it's called The Shout That Stopped God. And let's pick up our passage this morning. We're looking at Mark chapter 10 from verse 46. It says, "And Jesus came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he's calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Hallelujah. Just a wonderful passage, a wonderful narrative about the story about blind Bartimaeus. And we've been preaching, as I said, this series on Fan into Flame. We've been looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. We said in Ephesians that Jesus is building his church, and we have become the temple of God as the people of God, and God lives in us. Amen? And when we gather, he moves amongst us. So we are the temple. Are there any temples in Pietermaritzburg? Not just Hindu temples, we're the temple. Hallelujah. And God comes and dwells amongst us. And we've been saying that we are a people of the Spirit. We're a people of the presence. We don't want to lose that. We want to continue to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves in the fact that we are a Spirit-filled church, a Spirit-filled community. And friends, that's what South Africa needs right now. What South Africa needs, South Africa's got lots of great individuals. We've got great sportsmen. We've got some great leaders. We had some great politicians. We've got great people in this country. But what South Africa really needs right now is great communities, not just great individuals. Because great individuals, you might win the comrades or you might stand out. But what people are looking for today are communities. When they come to a group of people together, they can say, "What's different about you? What's going on amongst you?" I was so blessed with what Avril said this morning. Here we are in an ex-Dutch Reformed church with Zulu guys singing, "Kom Jesus Kom." It's just wonderful. And when folk come in and they look at that, they must start asking questions. What is going on amongst you? Because we're a people of the Spirit. We're a people that belong to God. And that's really what we need today. We need communities all over Maritzburg that are reflecting God's alternatives. We're the city on a hill that cannot be hid. That's the hope for our nation. And so we're looking at this subject this morning of Fan into Flame because it's so central. What knits us together, not just our cultures or language, but what knits us together is you have the Holy Spirit in you, I have the Holy Spirit in me, and we belong to Christ. Hallelujah. And that is what makes us a Spirit-filled community together. And so I started this series preaching about Timothy, who was a church leader, who had weaknesses in his own life as a younger man. And Paul said to him, "Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit." And the empowering of the Holy Spirit is the best thing to overcome personal weaknesses. I've got lots of weaknesses in my own life. I know other folk do as well. We need the Holy Spirit to help us overcome those weaknesses and prevail. And so we looked at the life of Timothy. This morning, I want to look at this man, Bartimaeus, who really had a physical defect. He couldn't see. He lived in a world of darkness. And life was passing him by daily as he sat by the roadside and begging and asking for some money just to survive. And life's passing him by. And he was sidelined because of his blindness. He was affected by it. It affected his whole life, his whole world. He was begging. He had no hope, no sight. And there was no change in his life until the day that Jesus arrived and Jesus came past on the road. And so I want us to pick up on this simple story, but draw some, what I believe, important truths out of this as we look at really prayer and how when we call on God, he hears us. and things change. And so I want you to notice a few things this morning about Bartimaeus. My wife says, don't call him Barty, call him Bartimaeus. So we'll call him Bartimaeus. And I want you to notice a few things. I want you to see, first of all, that he heard that Jesus was approaching Jericho. And Jericho was a city that had been inhabited. It's one of the oldest cities there was. And it was a city full of priests. They had about 20,000 priests that lived in Jericho. And they used to go and serve in Jerusalem on a roster basis. We weren't the first ones to have duty rosters. They did in those days as well. And they used to move to Jerusalem and serve in the temple when they were on duty. And so it was a big city. And there were many priests in the city as well. And it's about 18 miles from Jerusalem. And here Jesus is nearing the end of his life. And he's moving through Jericho towards Jerusalem, where he's going to die upon a cross. And the whole city is alive. The whole city is abuzz. They know that this preacher from Nazareth is coming through town. And he's the one who's performed miracles. And he's got this amazing teaching. And he's also defied the religious authorities. And Bartimaeus is sitting by the side of the road. And he hears this news. He hears that Jesus is coming. And he's going to brush past him. Hallelujah. And something stirs in him when he hears that Jesus is approaching. Something stirs. Perhaps he's heard stories about Jesus. Perhaps he's heard what Jesus has done. And there's a stirring in his heart. He begins to get excited. He realizes that the same road that he's sitting on, Jesus is coming past. Hallelujah. And things start to change. And he starts thinking about it. You see, friends, there's sometimes, whether you're a Christian or even a non-Christian, there are times where Jesus passes you by. Jesus comes close to you. Jesus moves past and through your life. You just have a sense, God is getting near me at the moment. God is doing something in my life. He's always with us. He's in us. But there are times in our lives where we just think, God is doing something with me right now. Have you felt times like that? I've felt times like that in my life as well. And I think the same thing happened with Bartimaeus. He saw it as his opportunity. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, make the most of every opportunity. And here was his opportunity. He's sitting, waiting for Jesus. He's waiting for his moment. He's not going to miss it for anything. He's heard there were some other folk who were healed. There were lepers that were healed. There were folk that, there was someone risen from the dead. He prayed for this guy, Lazarus. And stuff happened, and he gets excited, and he begins to wait for Jesus. And he's also desperate. He's desperate because he knows that he's blind, and he wants to be healed. And this is his moment of opportunity. He refuses to just accept his situation. He's absolutely desperate. He says, oh God, I need you to do something in my life. And that's wonderful when we become desperate. When we begin to call out on God, it's often a doorway to faith, where God begins to do something for you, something out of the ordinary, something special, something different, something that's just different from the ordinary. Every day he's sitting there. Every day he's begging. Every day is the same. And then one day he realizes Jesus is near. Jesus is coming past. Can Jesus do something in my life? Can something change? Because Jesus is here. He's near. He wants to do something. Hallelujah. And what does he do? He does all he can do. He can't see anything. So he just starts shouting. He just starts shouting. He's a real charismatic. He just starts shouting. And he shouts, Jesus, have mercy on me. And the more he shouts, the more the crowds tell him to be quiet. And the more they tell him to be quiet, the louder he shouts. He refuses to be silent. He does everything he can to get God's attention. Jesus, Jesus, don't pass me by. And sometimes it can be like that in our own lives, friends. I know it's been like that in my life. Sometimes you don't always understand what God's doing. You can go through a difficult patch. You can't work everything out like Bartimaeus did, but you can do something, something we can all do. You can cry out to God. You can lift your voice. Your prayers are so important in the kingdom of God. And this guy's urgent. His urgency is expressed in a number of ways. He just keeps shouting. He won't be put off by others. They try and keep him quiet. He won't be quiet. Later on, he jumps up and he throws his cloak aside. He gets rid of every distraction. and he's prepared to meet with Jesus. He's persistent. Hallelujah. He's persistent in his shouting. D.A. Carson, one of the commentators, says on this passage, he says, many of us in our praying are like nasty little boys who ring the front doorbells and run away before anyone answers. And this guy's not like that. He doesn't just pray a quick prayer and run away or forget about it. He just keeps shouting. He just keeps knocking. And I want you to see that he's seeking Jesus first. His healing comes later. He's seeking his face. He's not just seeking his hand. He's not just seeking the blessings of God. He wants God to touch him. He wants to meet with Jesus. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. This message is really an exhortation just to stir us again in the area of prayer. Jeremiah 29. It's such a well-known passage. And Jeremiah 29, verses 11, God says, for I know, and I'd like you to personalize this morning in your own life. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, or to prosper you and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Some of you need to hear that this morning. God's saying to you, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for your family. I know the plans I have for your children. Some of you are worried about your children. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. And then he says, and then you will call upon me. Look at this. And come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Then you will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found of you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you, and I will do this, and I will do that. Hallelujah. And friends, what God is looking for is for us just to seek him. That's what he's saying in Jeremiah. If you seek me, if you look for me, if you lay hold of me, and it's not hard. God's not far away. He's so often near to us, and he approaches us. And that's really what happens with Bartimaeus. He just wants to connect with Jesus. He's not going to be put off. He keeps shouting. And he just says, Jesus, I need to meet with you. And nothing's going to stop me from doing that. And I want you to see also, he's not put off by others. He's just not put off by others. No one is going to take away his chance to escape from his world of darkness. He's not put off by others. Nothing's going to stop him. He's not going to be put off in any way possible. He just keeps persisting. Keeps persisting, keeps praying, keeps crying out. And I want you to see that the cries of Bartimaeus stopped God. Jesus stood still, the Bible says. Jesus just stood still. So who's calling me? Who's crying out like that? Who's shouting like that? And friends, that's what our prayers do to God. Our prayers cause God to stop and to listen. Hallelujah. Our prayers cause him to stand still and to listen to our heart cry, just as it happened here with Bartimaeus. This was the shout that stopped God. It stopped God. Jesus stopped what he was doing. He said, who's that? Who's calling me? Bring him here. And friends, we need to be like that. We need to pray like this. We need to prevail like this in prayer as well. We're praying that God would stop in my life and do something special. How many of you need God to do something for you today? I do. And you're just saying, Lord, I need you to stop. I need you to stop what you're doing. I need you to stop where you're going. I need you just to stop in front of me and to answer my prayers. Hallelujah. Because sometimes when you begin to pray as a Christian, you're praying. Sometimes it's not easy. You begin to pray and then suddenly you get the feeling, hang on, God's right here now. He's right in front of me. How many of you had that feeling? You just have a sense God is here. And God's always here. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But sometimes he manifests his presence and suddenly you have a sense he's right in front of me. It was like that two Wednesdays ago in this place. We all gathered to pray. And I want to just say to you, something incredibly special is happening here on Wednesday evenings. This is not just a commercial. But 2 weeks ago, we gathered in this place, and it was just the normal. I think Webster was leading, and we were just gathering to pray, and I was standing there, and we were worshiping, and suddenly, this place just filled up with God. You say, what do you mean by that? Isn't God always with you? Yes, but suddenly he was here. And you know something? Everyone knew it at the same time. No one had to come to the mic and say, guys, God's just arrived. It's like something changed in the meeting, and we just started singing in tongues and worshiping. It was, do you remember? It was glorious. It was, oh God, this is what we've been, this is what we long for. God suddenly came. He just suddenly came in the meeting, and for about 20 minutes, we were just singing in the Spirit. We were praying. There was a sense that you could just touch God. He was right here. It was incredible. It was incredible. He's come as we begin to call on Him and praying, and suddenly God comes. When you don't expect it, you can't always program for it. Suddenly He's in the meeting. And it was just different. There was a sense of the presence of God in this place. It was just incredible. I was so full of joy. And I just looked around. I thought, isn't it amazing with God's people? When God comes, everyone knows it's Him. It's like no one needs to say anything because you just know God's here. And suddenly, that's what happens. And folks, I want to encourage you this morning to pray. This is a word of encouragement, to pray that God would stop in your life and just answer your prayers this morning, that He would meet with you. We need to pray that God would stop in Pietermaritzburg, that God would stop in this town, just like He stopped in Jericho, that God would hover in this place. And there have been prayer meetings in the past where people have just started praying, and suddenly God has come. There was a prayer meeting that was begun in New York City in 1857, where businessmen just got together. It's called the famous Fulton Businessmen's Prayer Meeting. And let me just read it to you. It's called the Fulton Street Prayer Revival. It began on the 23rd of September, 1857. In a room at the North Dutch Reformed Church, just a few blocks away from the World Trade Center once stood. It included Christians from a variety of denominational backgrounds, and it spread from one local church through the city into the nations and into the world. This guy, Jeremy Napier, he decided to challenge men to engage in active business, to devote a portion of their time, usually given to rest and refreshment at midday, to devotional purposes. So on Wednesday, from noon till 1 o'clock, 1 hour, time was set aside in the building on Fulton Street to give merchants, mechanics, clerks, strangers, and businessmen an opportunity to stop and call on God amidst the daily perplexities of their different vocations. The first meeting was held on the 23rd of September. The first person to join him was half an hour late. Hello, hello. Identify with that. Several others came later. Five denominations were represented. Praise and prayer followed. The following week, 20. The third week, 40. The fourth week, they decided to hold a meeting every workday. Within months, meetings were being held throughout the city. The movement soon spread to other U.S. cities from coast to coast. The agenda was simple: the salvation of the soul. They would pray for the souls of family members, neighbors, co-workers, and join in agreement. They prayed for salvation and praised God when it happened. There were no theological discussions. There were no controversial topics. They just kept it simple. And these were the rules they typed up. Be prompt. We start at 12. The leader is not expected to exceed 10 minutes in opening the meeting. They used to sing one or two hymns, pray, read a portion of scripture, say the meeting is now open for prayers and exhortations. You can have one request at a time. You can't hog the show. And then they had a closing hymn 5 minutes after 1 o'clock, before 1 o'clock, and then they went. And this thing spread right across America, and eventually it spread across the world, this Fulton Street revival. Hallelujah. And friends, that's what happens when we just take time to stop and pray. And it can happen individually. It can happen corporately as well. And that's what happened. As Bartimaeus shouted and kept shouting, Jesus stopped. It just stopped. It stopped God. God stopped to listen to his prayers. Who's that? Who's shouting like that? And there were lots of people. There was a big crowd. But he got his attention. Hallelujah. And the same will happen for us. You don't have to keep shouting. God is near to us to listen to our prayers. And I want you to see also that his cries alerted others to the situation. And so initially the crowd was saying, keep quiet. But later on, when Jesus stopped, he said, who's that guy? They said, come on, he's calling you. Get up, come on. And they helped him. And sometimes when we pray like that, sometimes we need to pray on our own. Sometimes you need to pray in public. Sometimes other people need to hear you praying. You get to know people by hearing their prayers. Sometimes we need to learn to pray in the presence of others, whether it's a small group or a bigger meeting. I know we're not all extroverts, but it's important for others to sometimes hear your prayers and hear what's going on in your heart. Sometimes to pray as a family together, pray with our family members as well. There's power in united prayer. When we pray as a congregation for things, we see miracles happen. Hallelujah. When Michael's with us, I want us as a congregation to spend time praying for his healing, praying for God to touch him. Hallelujah. And it's important to involve other people in the things you're going through. They need to know what are your needs. Other people need to know what you're going through, and so that they can get behind you in prayer. It's part of fanning into flame the gift of God in your life. Public prayer. And so public prayer needs to inform our private prayers, not the other way around. So in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, Paul says to Timothy, I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or disputing. Public praying. It means we're looking to God. We're looking to God together. Let me encourage you to pray publicly. Maybe you've never prayed in a public way. Maybe you've got a quiet voice, but you can still pray and you can call on God. We pray together, hallelujah, African style, which is wonderful. Lift our voices together as they did in Acts chapter 4. And so it's so important. So sometimes it's you and Jesus, you're talking to him. At other times you need to find him in a crowd. You need to be able to raise your voice in a crowd. And other people that are praying mustn't dominate the prayers. Pray for half an hour, pray short prayers, but others getting in and praying as well so that Jesus can hear all of us. But I want to encourage you. It says men, particularly the men, lift your hands and pray publicly. Hallelujah. Pray in meetings. Just thank God. Hallelujah. I said to Rob this morning in the middle of worship, Raymond Carlos has gone to Cape Town to visit his mother-in-law. I said to him, I miss Raymond this morning. Because I know he would have prayed out in the meeting. Hallelujah. And he's wonderful. We've just done Strength Finders as a staff, and one of his strengths is woo. He's just positive all the time about everything, isn't he? He's wonderful. And to have a guy like that praying in the meeting is wonderful. And so we have to learn to pray on our own, friends, but we have to learn to pray in a crowd. When the Comrades was running past here a couple of weeks ago, I went to look. I had to find a spot in the crowd to watch the runners, but I found a spot, took a few photographs. We need to be like that. And when we pray in a public way, we get to know one another's needs. We can pray for one another. Paul says, pray for me. These are the things I'm going through. And then there's power in prayer as well. And sometimes God uses others to bring us closer to him. So don't isolate yourself when you pray. I struggle with prayer as well, like all of us. Sometimes it goes well. Sometimes it doesn't go so well. Sometimes you need to pray on your own. Sometimes you come to a corporate prayer meeting and you can just, people are praying and you're getting carried along. And it strengthens you. Hallelujah. So Tim Keller says, if you struggle to pray, and we go through different seasons of prayer, Paul says as well, that's why for people that are filled with the Spirit, we need to pray in tongues. Praying in tongues is not a sign of strength. It's a sign of weakness. You don't know how to pray, and so you begin to pray in tongues. The Holy Spirit prays through you the things that are on God's heart, and he encourages you. And so Tim Keller says, in terms of prayer, he says he's often used this. I felt it was really helpful. He says, in regard to prayer, imagine your soul is a boat with oars and a sail. So in terms of prayer, ask yourself four questions. Are you sailing at the moment? Sailing means the wind is at your back. God is with you. You have a sense of God's love. God is carrying you along. The Bible is real to you. The Holy Spirit is working through you. We all have times like that. You feel you're sailing. Or are you rowing? Rowing means you're finding prayer and Bible study a bit of a duty. You're going through it, but you don't always see your prayers answers. You may be struggling a bit of dryness. Or are you drifting? Drifting means you're experiencing all the symptoms of rowing, but there's a bit of spiritual dryness as well in your life. And instead of rowing, you're letting yourself drift. You're stopping praying. You're stopping to connect with God's people. other things are beginning to creep into your life. D.A. Carson also says we don't pray because we don't plan to pray. You don't drift into disciplined prayer. You need to make a decision to do that. Or finally, this is the worst, are you sinking? Imagine your boat, your soul, is now drifting and you're beginning to sink and you're losing hope in the Christian life. He says, but the good news is if you begin to pray again and look to God, the wind will begin to catch your sails and God will begin to move you along. We've all been in places where we're sailing, rowing, drifting and sinking. Amen? But as we look to God, He begins to blow into our sails again, as He did with Bartimaeus. And then finally, I want you to see what Jesus did as I come to a close. I want to see what Jesus did. It says, Jesus called him and brought him closer. Suddenly, he was in the presence of Jesus, the healing presence of Jesus. Friends, prayer will bring you closer to God such as nothing else will. Suddenly, you will feel that connection with God. You'll no longer just be praying, but you'll find yourself in His presence, and Jesus will begin to minister to you. Can I say that again? Jesus will begin to minister to you. Amen? So it's a difference between just saying your prayers, and suddenly Jesus is ministering to you. Jesus will begin to minister. You know how much we need ministry. Not just where you're going through the motions, not just where you're coming to church or saying your prayers or reading your Bible, but you're meeting with Jesus and He's ministering to you. Suddenly, Bartimaeus found himself, he's in front of Jesus. And it's like the rest of the crowd grew strangely quiet and it's just him and Jesus. And Jesus begins to talk to him and says to him, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? He says, oh Lord, I just want to see again. I just want to see. I want to receive my sight. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Go. And he suddenly, his eyes are open. He begins to see. You see, when you stand in front of Jesus, sometimes Jesus may ask you a question. Jesus will begin to minister to you. He'll talk to you. And he'll ask you a question. He'll say to you, what do you want me to do for you? So if Jesus were to ask you that question today, what would you say to him? If Jesus were to say to you right now, William, Spare, Webster, Colleen, others, if Jesus were to say to you right now, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say to him? What would you say to him this morning? It's so good to have a goal in prayer, to say, I'm not just saying my prayers, but Lord, I'm asking you for this right now. Maybe you're praying for your daughter. Maybe you're praying for your family. Maybe you're praying for finance. So he came to Bartimaeus. He said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? He said, Lord, I just want this one thing. I want to see you again, Lord. He said, be healed in Jesus' name. So as you sit here this morning, Jesus says to you, he's here today, says to you, what do you want me to do for you? What would you say to him? And I believe Jesus is asking us that today. He's asking you, he's asking me, what do you want? What do you want today? What do you want him to do for you? Let him minister to you. Because God wants to do something in your life. Hallelujah. And there in the presence of Jesus, he makes his request and suddenly he's healed. He experiences the healing presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. And why is this so important, friends? It's so important because Jesus must continually stay real to us. Must real to us. It's one of the most difficult things as a pastor, as a leader. You're dealing with spiritual things all the time. And through that, you've got to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to stay real to me in through all of this. Firstly, I'm not a pastor, Lord. I'm your child. Hallelujah. And I want to know you and experience you. I want you to be real to me, Lord. Where your heart's imagination is constantly captured by Jesus. And in that connection with him, you personalize your love for him. And he reawakens memories of love for you as well. Hallelujah. Folks, this is what we need today. And so Jesus says to you this morning, ask. Ask this morning. I really felt faith this morning. God saying to us this morning, ask. What would you ask him for today? Anything. Anything. What would you ask him for? Ask. Seek. What are you seeking God for right now in your life? Knock. What would you say when Jesus opens the door? He says, hello. Hello, Jesus. He says, what do you want me to do for you? Well, I was just praying. Yeah? I was just worshiping, Lord. Didn't expect to see you here. Well, I'm here. Hi. What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus knew straight away. And that's also, you know, I mustn't have shopping lists in prayer, but God sometimes comes to us and says, I'm here. What do you want from me? So, oh Lord, this is what. And often the Holy Spirit will be at work giving you those desires. Oh Lord, I'm looking for this. You lay it before Him. And He says, give me that. I want to answer your prayers. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what He did here with Bartimaeus. And friends, that's what it means to be a Spirit-filled community. It's to be a community that's in touch with Jesus and ourselves. And we're hearing Him and we're talking to Him. And He's not passing us by. And sometimes we may need to shout. Sometimes we need to shout. I've been in prayer meetings where we just said, Psalm 100, let's all shout. And it's been anointed shouting. Other times you can whisper. Sometimes you don't know what to pray. You just say, Lord, you know my heart. You know what I... And He hears the whispers of your heart. Sometimes you just speak in tongues. You don't know what to pray. Just begin to pray in tongues. God hears. And the Holy Spirit in us knows the will of the Father, and He prays, and He answers those prayers according to the will of the Father. And that's exactly what happened to Bartimaeus. And so let me encourage you this morning, in your own personal life, as a family, and as we gather collectively, as we begin to pray, we want to meet with Christ. We want to know His touch, just like Bartimaeus. And we want to ask Him things. This is a season where we can just ask Him stuff. Say, Lord, I want You to do this for me. Been struggling in this area, Lord. I want You to lift this off my life. I want You to deliver me in this area. Lord, I need You to open doors. Lord, I'm praying for this person. And I heard the other night, I was in a prayer meeting, Lord. I heard this person crying out, Lord. It really touched my heart. I phoned Michael this week. I said to him, Michael, you know, how's it going? And that he said to me, I'm too weak to preach at the moment. I'm too weak to preach. I said to my wife, let's pray for Michael. So we need others to sometimes help us and sometimes to hear one another's prayers. You're allowed to eavesdrop in the kingdom of God. You say, oh Lord, won't You touch that person? Then we become a Spirit-filled community, praying for one another. And we find with Bartimaeus what happened. Finally, he got healed, he got touched. And what did he do? He devoted his new powers to following Jesus. He followed Jesus down the road, it says. Jesus had translated him from a beggar beside the road to a disciple on the road. And it happened out there on the streets. Isn't that wonderful? It didn't just happen in the temple, but it happened in the marketplace out there as well. He recovered for a purpose. He followed Jesus up to Jerusalem. It began with a shout, the shout that stopped God, but then he encountered Jesus. Oh, I live for that encounter with God. I really do. Where you just suddenly have a sense He's here, He's with me. I was praying on my own the other day, just praying through some issues in my life. And while I was praying my study, get down on the floor, pray. While I was praying, suddenly God was there. And I knew He was there. And He was talking to me and I was talking to Him. Suddenly it was an encounter. I wasn't just saying my prayers. I think that's what happened with Bartimaeus. He encountered God. Jesus said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? He knew what He wanted to do for him, but we need to voice it. We need to articulate it. We need to be clear ourselves. We need to have faith. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Go and see. Hallelujah. And He went and followed Him down the road. It's part of being a Spirit-filled community. Prayer is so connected with that. So connected with that. Speak to some church leaders today, you say, how's your small groups going? They tell you. How's your Sunday meeting going? They tell you. How's your prayer meeting going? Well, we don't really have a prayer meeting anymore. You know, people are busy and so on and so forth. No, we must gather to pray. Hallelujah. And I need you sometimes. I need you to be able to say to you as a lead, I need to say, won't you pray for this at the moment? Won't you take this up and help us as we pray for this at the moment? Hallelujah. What are our goals? You might have personal goals. What are our goals for Grace Gen? we're praying for a day of visitation. That's what we're praying for. And we've had little drops, but we're praying for more and more of that, where God just comes. Hallelujah. And we're praying also for growth. I'm praying this place gets too small. Too small. Hallelujah. Remember, as an early Christian, when I went up to Hatfield Baptist Churches, those days with Ed Raybert, and they, Ed and the other pastor, what was his name? They used to go up to the top of, there was a Signal Hill or something in Pretoria, and I think for 10 years, every morning during the week, they prayed for a visitation. And then God came to that church. And they had a Saturday night prayer meeting on a Saturday night in Pretoria, in Brooklyn. And you had to go an hour early to get into the meeting. Otherwise, you couldn't get into the meeting on a Saturday night. God was just moving. And I remember as a young Christian, as a young leader, coming into that, and I was just blown away. I just sat there. And then the next morning, in the big tent at Menlo Park with 3,000 people, I came from a small Baptist church. Man, it was like going from a corner cafe to the hypermarket. It was like, and I just, but it was bathed in prayer, and it was gathered in prayer. And part of being a spirit-filled community, part of fanning into flame, we need to keep praying. And I just would encourage you to do that this morning. In your own life, make time. In your family, pray as a family. Husbands, gather your wives, gather your children. So we're going to pray about this. Pray for folk. And as a church, let's keep gathering on a Wednesday night. And let's begin to pray. And I love the whole thing of worship, the fact that we can have a band on a Wednesday evening and we can worship and pray together. I'm hoping on Sunday mornings too, as God moves amongst us, we'll flow more between worship and prayer, just praying for things and seeing God move. For Bartimaeus, it began with a shout. He encountered Jesus and his life was changed. May it be the same for us. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.